I hope you remember the words from last week's gospel reading. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." That's from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Now just think about it. Wow. The sky above him was opened, and there for the first time we're presented with the incredible presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As I said last week, that was the start of something big. It's just the beginning. In this week's reading from John's Gospel, John the Baptist proclaims Jesus as the Lamb of God. And we're quite familiar with that term, Lamb of God. We sing it during our service. And those words tell us the reason that Jesus came to take on humanity. John the Baptist humbly was pointing away from himself and trying to defer all of the credit that people were trying to give him so that he could put it rightly where it belonged, towards Jesus as God's sacrificial lamb. Now, right here, John tells us not only who Jesus is, but he tells us why Jesus would have to die such a sacrificial death on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Now, isn't that a wonder in itself? Only God could pay this perfect price so that he could provide perfect justice and free us all from our sins as the ultimate atonement. John the Baptist was not a very shy man. In fact, he was quite outspoken and was not afraid to speak his mind. He didn't hesitate to tell people what he witnessed and what he heard and what he saw, that Jesus, the Messiah, would baptize with the Holy Spirit. For many of the people who listened to John's claim that through Jesus the Holy Spirit was present and that Jesus would be baptizing people with God's Holy Spirit, it must mean that the Messiah had come or was near. Today we read that two of John the Baptist's followers heard this announcement of Jesus as the Lamb of God, and they left John and they went ahead and followed Jesus. John's gospel identifies one of them as someone that we know and love dearly, the Apostle Andrew, on whom this church is named. He's, of course, Simon Peter's brother, and we can assume that the other one is the author of this gospel, the Apostle John. He doesn't reveal who he is, as a matter of fact. If you go through all of John's gospel, he never points to himself. He always refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Right on through John chapter 21, in which he clearly states that. This is the groundwork for the forming of the 12. These two young men came to Jesus and asked him where he was staying. Well, apparently, they wanted to hang around him and learn from him, as they had done with John the Baptist. And Jesus told them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. With this, Jesus went about gathering the other 10. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So, you are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. And now many people pronounce this as Cephas, but it is Cephas, which was the pronunciation at the time, which is translated for Peter as rock, boulder, or stone. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida. This is the same place where Andrew and Peter or Simon were from. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That's from John 1, 41 to 45. There were two main occupations in the Galilee area. First, farmers and fishermen. Fishermen were a very large part of the economy of the Sea of Galilee, and most made a pretty good living at it, which was far better than a large number of farmers who worked the land through much of the Roman Empire due to taxation. The fishermen would cast large nets made of rope or cords woven from flax, papyrus, or hemp, and they would pull in a pretty nice payday with a large haul of fish. James and John, following Jesus' call on their lives, left behind a pretty good job, and they left behind their father Zebedee and their family business. James and John were known as the sons of Zebedee, would also become known as the sons of thunder. I can't make this stuff up. This is right in the Bible. We can see that they received a higher calling, and they would become, as Jesus called them, fishers of men. As Jesus finds all of his apostles, he gives them a new vocation. They don't worry about what is back at home or their previous occupation. They are now to follow Jesus and to learn from him. My friends, this was just the beginning. So much is going on in the life of Jesus, gathering the 12 and then returning to Galilee region after his baptism, and the temptation by Satan in the wilderness. He went to Nazareth where he grew up. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, we can read the account of Jesus' visit to Nazareth and to the synagogue on the Shabbat, or Sabbath, and what transpired. All of the Jewish people in that synagogue knew the scrolls, the prophets, and of course, they knew Isaiah. Jesus is called to read and was handed a scroll from Isaiah. In Luke's gospel, it says, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Luke chapter 4, verses 17 to 21. Isaiah prophesied that the year of the Lord's favor was coming, and that it would be not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. Just imagine someone coming into church and saying, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. There's some people that probably would have wanted to shoot Grant if he had said that. Well, at least he didn't. The people of Nazareth were stunned by this, but they were angry. Turns out that many wanted to physically push Jesus over the cliff at the edge of the town. What's even more remarkable is God's Holy Spirit is in charge, because Jesus simply walked past them, and not a hair on his head was harmed. It was not his time to be harmed. It was not his time to be sacrificed. There was much more that needed to be done. In the life and ministry of this young man, Jesus of Nazareth, it was just the beginning. So why did the people get so upset? Well, Jesus would go on to make points about the great prophets Elijah and Elisha. And so he identified himself with the prophets. This was more than the people could handle. After all, they watched him grow up. Elijah was sent by God to help a widow, but she wasn't Jewish. Elisha helped a leper who was the commander of the Gentile enemy army. This is what turned them on him. Wasn't Jesus saying, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," that drove them with anger and hostility? It was because Jesus was saying that God was rescuing both Jew and Gentile. These Jewish people were waiting for God to free them from the oppression of these pagan enemies, the Gentiles, and not for their enemies to be saved too. They must have been thinking, why on earth would God choose to forgive them? This was all right at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He would undertake 3 more years of work, preaching, teaching, signs, miracles, and wonders that would culminate finally with Jesus going to the cross and then 3 days later miraculously leaving the empty tomb. Jesus doesn't stop there, as you know. Like Jesus said to Philip in verse 42 of today's Holy Gospel, "Follow me." And like he said to Peter and John in John chapter 21, telling them to follow him as well. Jesus says today to each one of us, "Follow me." Please remember, whatever we undertake in his name, we will not do it alone. I want you to remember the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples from a mountain in Galilee, as recorded in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. He said, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Anything we do in his name, we do alongside him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.